Well, I think even the most intrepid adventurers need to open their atlases to find the Indian state of Assam. Sitting on top of Bangladesh like a turban, Assam is northwest of Calcutta along the Brahmaputra River. Yes, I had to look it up. Famous for some of the world's best teas, it's also home to endangered Indian rhinoceros, tigers, deer and elephants, where they live in UNESCO World Heritage listed nature reserves. Normally out at sea, Adventure Cruise guide editor Roderick Imey is with us tonight. I found him upstream without a paddle in this one. How are you?
Good, Tony. Thank you very much for welcoming me back.
I'm glad you've made it back. It sounds like a real adventure. Now, look, I mean, the story begins with you running aground on a sandbank and then you lost the British High Commissioner.
That's just the beginning of the story, Tony. Yeah, look, it was a whole lot of fun, this adventure. It was a real frolicking up the Khyber sort of carry-on movie. It was, but a great fun and a great adventure all the same. India, as your listeners will know, is a pretty challenging place to travel in, even when things go right. But when things go a little bit wobbly.
Yeah. When your boat goes aground, first day is
The funny thing was, we'd flown up from Calcutta into Guwahati, which is the base for the Brahmaputra Assam Bengal Navigation Company, where their ships go up the river. So we have a bit of a tour through the city, and then we go out on a launch, and the boat is, what the hell's going on here? This boat has got its bow up against a sandbank, and the engines are going flat out, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to dig themselves with their propellers off the sandbank. Only what, this went on all night. And then a couple of river tugs came up, and they're pushing and shoving, and they got bogged. And
They must come across this all the time if it's an area that they deal with all the time.
I think they do. There was a certain kind of resignation on the crew of the tugboats going, oh, not these guys again. Anyway, by the morning, by breakfast, we're underway and it was all just a little bit of a laugh.
So how did you lose the High Commissioner?
Well, we're just upstream. We travel at a snail's pace, really at a walking's pace, against the current of this Brahmaputra River, which is a tributary of the Ganges, comes down from Tibet.
So it has a fair bit of force.
It is a substantial river, but obviously as it gets close to the sea, it flattens out in a delta style and gets shallow and gets sandbanks. So anyway, we're going upstream and we get off and we're going to visit some of these UNESCO World Heritage Listed Game Reserves to see some tigers or to see some rhinoceros, which we did see. Anyway, we get in these little tiny Suzuki Swifts, these tiny little mini four-wheel drives, and off we go. And the grass is so high at this time of the year that you can barely see the car in front. So here we are travelling in convoy, and we're all looking out and trying to see this, that, and the other. And there's an elephant over there. Oh, there's a deer running through there. Anyway, someone turned around at the last minute and goes, which way did the High Commissioner go? Because the British High Commissioner was holidaying with his family and joined us just for a bit of R&R. Anyway, so we're looking around it.
So it gets lost in the tall grass.
Which way did he go? So anyway, we got back to the start, and we've got this armed guard with us. You can imagine this motley crew of Indian militia standing around with antique sidearms and firearms guarding us as we're in this thing against, Al-Qaeda-trained rhinoceros or something. So there we are, and some of the other guests are starting to get a bit concerned,
Particularly losing the High Commissioner is... Not a great start.
And his wife and his son. Anyway, we stand around, and next minute there's a bit of commotion, and there's three four-wheel drives come roaring down towards the gate, and out gets what we were told to call him Dickie. Sir Richard Stagg. Hi, Richard. I hope you're listening. Dickie. And he gets down from his four-wheel drive, and he says, oh, sorry, I hope it didn't keep you all waiting. A bit of a spot there. And he had his son with him, who was a real lad, and he says... pulls me aside and says, oh, geez, I'm sorry, we had to stop. And he shows me his wallet and he pulls out a 1,000-rupee note. He said, I really had to stop for a call of nature and I was down to my last 1,000-rupee note. So he'd been using his 1,000-rupee notes out in the jungle because he had to go.
Right.
When you got to go, you got to go. So that was the story behind that one.
Extraordinary. But the good news is you did find him. Now, the wildlife spotting in the nature reserve, they tell me, was pretty spectacular.
Look, it is. You can, like any nature reserve or wildlife spotting, whether you go in Africa or anywhere.
It's the luck of the draw,
it
too.
It is. They're wild animals. They go as they come and go as they please. But we did see some of these Asian rhinoceros, which was quite a thrill, including mother and calf. And they're not too fussed about hanging around the areas where the tourists go, few as they are. So we will go to a viewing platform, which is really just a couple of things on stilts and a billy for pouring and with some tea.
Mm-hmm.
And they're quite unperturbed. They're munching away on the buffalo grass just in front of the stand. So we got pretty good view of that.
I think it's extraordinary sometimes when you run into these wild animals. You know, I remember a situation in Africa where we were sort of coasting into a herd of elephant first thing in the morning. It was just only about 6 o'clock. They were eating. And because we were inside this vehicle, they almost treated it as though we were part of the herd. And so you had baby elephants coming up and, you know, showing their trunk to you and all the rest of it. It was just an amazing thing, and they were really relaxed with it.
I think, and probably your guides would say, don't leave the vehicle.
Don't leave the vehicle. Otherwise, we'll shoot you first and ask questions later.
That's what happens. So, yeah, and I'm a bit concerned about tigers, although it is on the menu. We didn't see any tigers, and I'm just worried that there might actually be any left in the park.
Mm.
So just for those listeners who want to make a note, Orang National Park and Kazuranga National Park are the two UNESCO World Heritage properties that we visited, Kazuranga being the big one, the famous one. Orang is a little appendix to Kazuranga, and they all run along the side of the Brahmaputra River and interspersed by great tea fields.
Mm. So you're essentially eating on the vessel or you're, you know, actually on land as well?
There is a land component and there is the cruising component. I mean, you can't get too far. This vessel, as gorgeous as it was a converted river steamer, which in a previous life had been carrying bags of cement and crikey knows what else, mm-hmm. up and down the river. And they've built it into these little cabins.
So it's comfortable?
Oh, yes. Mm. But it's very quaint and it's very rustic.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly at home in the environment.
Would you say it's a luxury environment? Or?
Look, no, that's a stretch, but it's comfortable. And we had some pretty fancy people travelling on this, you know.
Yeah.
Dickie.
Well, Dickie and and son and family, that sort
Charles
of,
and yeah, it's, Arabella.
It's one of those things where it's not an area of the world I've heard very much about, so you'd imagine that you'd be a rare beast in that
look,
neck
it was.
Of the woods.
I mean, there were we did come across travellers, but very few Western travellers, except this group of retired Gurkha Rifles officers and their wives, who are absolutely charming, fascinating people to travel with.
This bit intrigues me. Apparently, one of your fellow passengers was shot by a Japanese sniper.
Oh, that was Colonel Jimmy Evans, MC and bar.
How is Jimmy?
He's just spiffing.
Recovered.
Well, charming man, and his wife Jennifer. So I hope you're listening. And they live in England, but anyway, they're part
you can
of the
listen in England.
Yeah. Well, you can listen online anywhere now. And so he's sitting out on the sun deck with his shirt open, and I said, "What? That's a great big blasted scar on your chest." He goes, "Oh, yes, bloody sniper got me over at Impal." No, and without going into a war history, he was part of the defence of India when the Japanese were making their way through Burma on the railway.
See, this is a bit of the Second World War I have not even heard of.
Oh, I had to swat
I didn't even know the Japanese were in India.
Well, they just got to India, but by the time they finally got their act together to make a thrust into India,
it was the beginning of the end.
It was. It was their last hurrah, and they got flogged.
Okay, yeah.
And Jimmy and the boys gave it to him.
Absolutely. I believe you were going through a war cemetery at one stage.
Well, this is another surprising thing. I mean, some people like the gloom tours.
Well, I've got to say, the Commonwealth war graves are sensational, beautifully maintained and very moving.
Well, we've probably all been to them. I haven't been to any in Europe, but there, I mean, of course, there's a new one being built right now.
I went to the one in Thailand where the Thai-Burma railway.
Kanchanaburi?
Mm.
Yes, and there's the beautiful museum with all the displays. Mm. Very, very moving. And here's this little one, almost forgotten, tucked away in the corner of Guwahati. And I'm wandering around. I can see some Japanese graves. I see some Chinese graves, mainly British. And tucked away in the corner was a contingent of Australian airmen who were attached to the RAF, who were flying missions against their own POWs who were building the Burma Railway. So they were bombing the railway as their own POWs were building it. So, and I found this one guy there. His name was Fred Tinne, T-H-Y-N-N-E. And I thought, oh, photograph this, look it up. Anyway, the wonders of the internet. There's his service record. There's photographs of him. He's standing proudly next to his Mosquito twin-engine bomber. And, you know, straight away you feel this connection that you've made with somebody. And, you know, he's got a family. I haven't looked up his family or anything yet, but that's maybe the next thing. Yeah,
so it was just one lone airman?
Just picked him at random. Yeah. He just had an interesting name, Squadron Leader, DFC. Thought he'd be interesting to look up, yeah.
But there were a number of Australian graves there.
There were probably been maybe as many as 20.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I was just unaware of that part of the war completely. That's fascinating. Now, how do you get to this place? Assam.
Assam, right. Well, not the most obvious place to get to. When people go to India, of course, you do the Taj Mahal, the Golden Triangle, Jaipur, etc. Well, flying to Kolkata, which in itself is not a real tourist destination, but a very, very interesting city all the same, because it's not got the tourist infrastructure, and it's a very poor city, of course, like so many in India, but you don't get swamped by the beggars because there's not the tourists there for them, etc. So there's a few, but not anywhere like Delhi or Agra or anywhere like that. So we flew into Guwahati from Kolkata and then met the boat. So the air links are all there. There's three or four airlines. We flew Jet Airways, but Air India serviced them as well, all the airlines. And
reasonable planes?
Well, perfectly good planes. Mm. Yeah. Well, we were supposed to fly Air India, but they were cancelled, so we got onto another flight. Mm-hmm. So, and then at the port, we get on a launch and we meet the ship.
And then you run into the sandbar.
With the ship out on the sandbar, yeah.
So how long is the trip?
Well, the trip itself, we did a shortened version, which was about a week, but you can go to 8 or 9 days and you can go further up the river. But I stress this boat travels very slowly. You can see the water seems to be travelling very fast underneath you because this is a strong current. And then you see this guy, you know, slapping a buffalo on the bum with a stick, and he's going faster than you on the bank.
That's interesting. And it's sort of all-inclusive, you know, the... food is good?
The food is great, and the staff aboard the MV Charadu was the ship that we had, come from some of the Nagaland villages, and they speak a crazy dialect, so that was really fascinating. And these young people were you know, servicing the rooms and running the bar and the restaurant stuff like that, and they were just charming, charming.
Lots of curries on the menu?
Not too hot. The Assamese is a little bit milder than the traditional fire-breathing Indian stuff. Mm-hmm. But on land, apart from the visits to the wildlife, they've got jungle lodges. The company, the Assam Bengal Company, own a couple of jungle lodges which you go and stay at, and they're very well appointed, even trendy, you know, the kind of thing you see in the Swish luxury travel magazines. And also it's good to go and see some of the local self-help village activities. We saw a weaving cooperative in one of the villages. Also, wander out into the tea fields and spend an hour or so picking tea with the ladies, which was very fascinating. They work all day. They pick about 20 kilos of tea and they earn about $3. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's the way it works. Is it reasonable to go there any time of the year or certain times of the year?
We were there, obviously, with the river, it is seasonal. You need to consult your travel agent on that one to make sure that you're going when there's enough water in the river. Otherwise, you know what can happen. So we were at the beginning of the season, but let me see, the monsoons were delayed and they started and the monsoons came and then the boat rose and then the water fell away real quickly, which is why we ended up on the sandbank. So, I mean, weather patterns around the world are a bit crazy at the moment.
Indeed.
Yeah, so we were towards the end of the year is when we were, and there are low seasons and you can't travel, so it's about a 6 months of the year thing.
Remote river cruising, Assam, India. We'll take you anywhere. Rod Imey, thanks for that.
Great fun as always. Thanks, Tony.